Dream Count weaves together four women's stories across continents, revealing how isolation forces confrontation with our deepest truths. When lockdown descends, Giamaka's Brooklyn apartment becomes both sanctuary and prison. Her ambitious plans to master bread baking and learn Mandarin quickly dissolve into anxiety-filled days tracking death tolls and avoiding calls from loved ones. The weekly Zoom calls with friends, Zikora managing her crying son, LaShawn evangelizing about sourdough, Clonipa escaping through watercolors, only heighten her sense of disconnection. While others seem to have found their pandemic coping mechanisms, Giamaka feels increasingly untethered in a world suddenly, eerily silent. The isolation strips away social pretenses, forcing her to examine failed relationships and missed connections. She dwells on Sungmin, a Korean classmate she never approached despite their shared love of obscure French films, and Darnell, for whom she had carefully curated stories about Lagos and fabricated sexual adventures to satisfy his appetite for the exotic. The pandemic reveals how much of her identity has been constructed for external validation. A sophisticated immigrant, an adventurous lover, a successful professional, rather than allowing herself to simply be. At 8, Giamaka overhears women describing her mother as beautiful, like sculpture, revealing how her mother trailed envy and bitterness, even hatred, in her wake. This moment teaches her that women face judgment by standards beyond their control. Her father carries deep scars from the Biafran War, lamenting how the Nigerian government stole my houses and warehouses. His trauma manifests in cautiousness, his low-burning paranoia, keeping emergency bags and hidden cash. This shapes how he raises his children, steering them toward business careers to preserve his legacy. We want what we've made to stay long after we're gone. That is how we seek immortality. When dating Chuka, Giamaka feels her mother's expectations for marriage and children. Despite wanting this traditional path, she realizes she cannot proceed, recognizing that the root of his loving was duty, while she craved an incandescent love, consuming, free of all onus, revealing the tension between duty and authentic desire when confronting cultural expectations. Chiamaka's relationship with Darnell collapses when he shows contempt for her ordering a mimosa, dismissing her as an ugly American, and locking her out of their bedroom. This incident shatters her devotion, revealing how quickly love fails when built on false premises. Her affair with a married Englishman offers different authenticity. Their connection begins intellectually through a Jan Morris fan site before meeting in London. Despite its moral complications, their relationship transforms them both. He writes about diversity with new awareness, while she crafts articles with him as her sole audience. Yet his unfulfilled promises create cycles of hope and disappointment. These relationships illustrate love's paradoxes, feeling most authentic in fundamentally dishonest situations, while respectful relationships can lack essential spark. When Giamaka cooks ukwa for Chuka, despite disliking it herself, his delight exemplifies connection-building gestures. Yet when he plans their wedding, she realizes she cannot proceed, despite wanting to want this life. Zikora's labor unfolds as an agonizing, primal experience in a stifling hospital room. Her emotionally distant mother simply states, "This is what labor is," when Zikora screams. The pain is vicious, crushing, refusing remorse, while the doctor repeatedly notes she's not progressing. This physical ordeal mirrors motherhood's transformation. Her mother whispers in Igbo, "Hold yourself together," the familiar warning against showing weakness. When Kwame abandons her after learning of her pregnancy, claiming, "We're at different places in our lives," she faces complete betrayal. After birth, Zikora feels oddly detached, experiencing not joy but a fog-like deadness. She texts Kwame, it's a boy, hoping for a response, only to discover he has blocked her number. The novel explores how motherhood reshapes identity. Zikora reflects on her college abortion while struggling with her son's circumcision, feeling protective yet uncertain. The mother-daughter relationship deepens when her mother reveals her own secrets, loving someone before Zecora's father and undergoing a hysterectomy after Zecora's difficult birth. Kadiatu's journey from Guinea to America reveals the complex reality behind the American dream. After her father's death in a mine collapse, family dynamics shift dramatically. While Kadiatu adapts to village life, her sister Binta dreams of escape, her spirit circled above, never landing, waiting until her real life could begin. When Amadou offers passage to America, he coaches Kadiatu to claim asylum based on fear of female genital mutilation, a practice she actually intends to continue. This highlights the moral compromises immigrants often face between worlds. In America, Kadiatu marvels at ambulances racing to save lives without demanding payment first, yet struggles with language and navigating the city. When sexually assaulted while working as a hotel maid, her case attracts media attention. The prosecutor's investigator questions her asylum application, making her fear deportation. After she collapses in tears, she overhears him call her a con artist. This illustrates how immigrants' credibility is constantly questioned, with past survival strategies used against their present truth. When charges against her attacker are dropped because a jury wouldn't trust her, the novel exposes how the justice system fails the vulnerable. Omologor's banking career reveals Nigerian finances' corruption, non-performing loans, wealthy defaulters, and disguised theft. As treasury officer, she concealed her CEO's personal borrowing and transported millions for governors, converting funds to dollars and returning them in locked suitcases. Her banking exit crystallizes when she learns about Mr. Nduka dying at a pension verification center after months without payment, while she laundered money for his state's governor. She realizes with self-contempt that she'd become what she once despised. This institutional corruption parallels personal power abuses throughout the novel. Kadiatu's sexual assault by an international figure, Kwame abandoning pregnant Zecora, and Darnell controlling Chiamaka, all showing how power operates from global finance to intimate relationships. Through her for-men-only persona, Omologor creates sardonic advice about abortion responsibility, emotional expression, and apologizing to women, each ending with, "Remember, I'm on your side, dear men," her way of challenging power imbalances with humor. The novel explores how characters find renewal after trauma in unexpected ways. Kadiatu's relief when her case is dropped transforms her face like those reverse animations that show a wilted flower slowly returning to bloom, challenging expectations of how survivors should respond. Zecora's journey from pregnancy abandonment to motherhood joy reveals another path to healing. When she projects anger at her ex onto her friend's new boyfriend, her mother reminds her that Chuka is not Kwame. Omologor demonstrates moral resilience by leaving banking after recognizing her complicity in corruption. Her Robin Hood grants become her atonement, redirecting wealth to those in need. After lockdown, Chiamaka notices small wonders, a man observing a bird, suggesting life might normalize, capturing the novel's view of resilience as gradual reorientation toward life's possibilities. Dream Count shows that when we allow ourselves to be truly seen beyond cultural expectations, our deepest wounds can become strengths through honesty and connection with others.